So let's read Job chapter 14 and verse number 1 through verse 10. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and will bring forth boughs like a plant. Notice verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Isn't that a question? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight to be able to be in church. We're thankful for the good singing that we've heard tonight. We're just thankful, God, that we're able to bring this message this evening. I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds tonight to the Word of God. And Lord, if somebody's not saved, not ready to die, I pray, God, that they would get ready before they leave this place tonight, because we do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh for us. We just want to thank you tonight and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, some of you don't know about the few days yet, but most of you know about the days being full of trouble. We're living a troubled world today, so about every day is full of trouble. Bob Hope's death came 2 months after his 100th birthday. As I begin to think about that, I realize he lived a long time, according to the life of some people, measured against his. He was born 6 months before the Wright brothers invented the airplane. He died 30 years after man walked on the surface of the moon. And yet even 100 years is a short time when seen against the backdrop of eternity. 100 years is only a few days in comparison to the vast age of the universe and the even more boundless, uncountable stretches of the eternal state. Now, Job here is not speaking of man's soul in this verse. The soul, once created, lives on forever, either in heaven or hell. Job is not speaking of the soul of man. He is speaking of man's flesh. He's speaking of this body that we're living in. He's reminding you and I there in Job chapter 14 that the shortness of time we have in the flesh on this earth. Now, 100 years seems like a long time when you're young, but as you begin to get older like I am, that doesn't seem like a long time at all. I'll be 70 in January. That seems unreal to me that I'm going to be that old. It seemed like just a few days ago, I turned 21, then 30, then 40. Then after that, it was just downhill all the way. Amen. And if you're not 30 and 40, you don't understand that yet, but you will. For every person who lives to be 100, there are thousands who die much younger than that. I thought of the millions of children were killed in the wombs of their mothers by abortion without ever seeing the light of day or taking a breath of fresh air. About 10 to 11 million Jews were killed during the day of Hitler. Ruth Bader Ginsburg oversaw the death of at least 60 million unborn Americans. I want you to think about that. 60 million unborn Americans under her watch, you might say. And I tell you, she's been for abortion long before she got to the Supreme Court. I mean, she was for that all along. Millions of others die in childhood or as a young person. Thousands of teenagers die in automobile wrecks each year. Thousands more die from drug abuse and overdose. Thousands more die from suicide or other accidents or diseases. And death can come at any age. The question is, how long will you live? And the answer is, you don't know that. The only person, according to the Word of God here in Job chapter 14, that knows how long you're going to live is God Himself. Notice what it said in Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Notice that phrase, the number of his months are with thee. God knows exactly how many months you're going to live. Now, I've been alive about 835 months. Some of you have been alive not that long, and some of you maybe have been alive a little longer than 835 months. The term of man's life is so fixed by God that he cannot die sooner nor live any longer than God has determined he should live. I want you to think about it. You say, well, what about somebody dies of an accident? It's not an accident with God. God knew all about the day or before that person was born. God knew when he was going to die and how he was going to die. Nothing is a surprise to God, okay? according to this scripture. So when God requires a man's soul, the Bible says here he has no power whatsoever over his spirit to retain it one moment longer. It said that Queen Mary, when she was laying on her deathbed, called the doctor and she said, "I'll give you millions for just an inch of time." He said, "Man, I can't give you one more second than what God allows you to have." And so Bob Hope was the same way. Bob Hope was a rich man. He had many things that this world had to offer, but still, when it come time for him to die, he died. There's a boundary fixed for every man, which will always remain where it's set. No man can move it forward by any means whatsoever. Now, how many months will you live? God knows exactly. I don't know and you don't know. God already knows the date and the time of your death. The date is set and the time is fixed. If you go walking through a cemetery, you'll see two dates on every grave that's there. The year that they were born, sometimes the date is there, but at least the year that they were born and the year that they died. And that little space between there, that little, I don't know what you call it, but you know, dash, very good, thank you. That little dash between there actually represents all of their life. No matter how long that life was, that dash represents their life. So how many months will you live? God knows exactly. God knows the date and the time of your death. The date is set. The time is fixed. The day of your death may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be a few weeks from now. Maybe a few months from now. It may be years from now. I don't know and you don't know, but God knows. Look what Moses said in Deuteronomy 32:29. He said, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." The latter end is the last years of your life. Number one, first on the day that you die, your soul and body will be separated. The Bible makes that very clear. It says that when you die, your body will return to dust and your spirit will return to God who made it. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, the Bible said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Your body will either be burned in the pagan manner of cremation or it will be buried beneath the ground in a Christian ceremony. Had somebody asked me one time and said, "Well, Brother Danny, if I get cremated, will that keep me from going to heaven?" No, that won't keep him going to heaven. But if you look in the Bible, there's examples of Christian burial and burials of people that followed God. They were buried. Their bodies was buried in the tomb. They weren't cremated. You know. And so I'm just saying, you know, if you want to be cremated, that's up to you. But I want to have a Christian burial. I want to be buried. Then your soul and your spirit will return to God. Now for some, that'll mean that you'll enter the joyful presence of God in heaven. But for many, and I want to use that word many, because for many, it will mean that your soul will return to God for judgment, and that he will consign you to a place of great horror in hell. And you have no power and no ability to decide when your body and soul will be separated. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Bob Hope had the highest honors the world can offer. Queen Elizabeth made him a knight in the British Commonwealth. John F. Kennedy gave him the great honor of a presidential medal. Five U.S. presidents attended his 95th birthday 5 years before he died. Bob Hope was a multimillionaire. He owned thousands of acres in Malibu, Palm Springs, and San Fernando Valley out in California. He owned two major radio stations and much, much more. He could afford the best medical treatment in the world. He had the finest doctors available anywhere. And yet, listen to me, when his appointed day came to die, none of these things could keep his soul and body from separating in death. Again, Ecclesiastes 8:8, "There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." It'll be the same for me, and it'll be the same for you. I don't care how we die. We can die in a car wreck. We can die of COVID-19. We can die of cancer. We can die many different ways. But when that time comes for us to die, we will die, and we will not die a minute before that, and neither will we die a minute after the time that God says we're going to die. He's got it all set up. And we might as well, hey, it's raining out there. Hear that? Isn't that good? "No man hath the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." It'll be the same for you and I. When the day and hour of your death arise, perhaps in a few months or a few days, you will have no power at all to stop your soul from being wrenched from your body and your unsaved case sent to the boiling, burning, belching dungeon of pain and suffering for all time and for all eternity. Secondly, on the day that you die, all earthly relations will end. Now, this is made clear in the account of the rich man's death in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says in Luke 16, 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I then got down to verse 27 and 28. He said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus the beggar, to my father's house, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said this was not possible for Lazarus to do. Abraham said the dead could not go back to the living, even to warn them. You see, this rich man was forever cut off from his friends and relatives. I remember when my mother died, I preached the funeral. And I remember Brother Red's done the cemetery up there at Fairview. And Brother Red, I remember something you said, and you may probably won't remember this until I remind you of it. But as he was getting ready to pray over the casket and so forth, he'd read some scripture and said a few things. And I remember he said this to the people that were there. And he looked at my family, and he looked at the friends that were there, the neighbors that were there. And he said, if you expect to see Geneva Douglas again, he said, you're going to have to be a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you'll never see her again. That has been in my brain for years. She died in 2000, in January of 2000. I've never forgot what he said there at the cemetery. I just want to tell you that death will separate you from your closest friends. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you have family members that's saved or maybe gone on to heaven, you'll never see them again if you don't get right with God. You'll never see them again if you don't look at the cross and beg Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. They may stand around your coffin. They may stand around your coffin there and weep during the funeral time or there at the cemetery. That won't make any difference. Part of the sorrow will lie in the fact that people know that they will never ever see you again, for you will have gone to hell and we will know that you're there. How many times I've been to funerals that a person has no history of going to church, have no history of being saved, and yet the preacher just preach them into heaven is what they call it. Just preach them into heaven. Heard a story one time I thought was a little humorous. This mean man, he was mean. I mean, he was mean to his wife and kids, and he was no good, and he died. And the brother come to the preacher and said, now, preacher, you're going to preach his funeral, and if you don't tell everybody there he was a saint, he said, I'm going to get up out of my seat, and I'm going to beat the thunder out of you right in front of the whole crowd. Preacher, he didn't want to get beat up, you know, but he began to think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, come day for the funeral. Preacher gets up, and he reads some scripture. He said, you know, he said, this guy that's stressed out here in this casket, he's sorry, low down, no good for nothing. Said he was a drunk. Said he's mean to his wife and kids. Wouldn't take care of him. He just went on and on and on. He said, but next to his brother that's sitting there in the front seat, this man was a saint. And I don't know the end of the story. Whether he got beat up or not. Thirdly, on the day that you die, all of your possessions will be stripped from you. Now, girls, listen to me. All your pretty dolls. I know girls that, you know, they grew up, you'd be young women, and they've kept their dolls, and they lined them up on the wall, or they put them in boxes and so forth to keep them, you give them to their children, you know, or whatever. But did you know the day you die, those are not yours anymore? They'll be boxed up, they'll be sold, given away. Hey, we've done sales for 15 years with Reds. 15 years I helped them with sales. And Reds, I can remember maybe a half a dozen sales. It took 2 days to sell everything that the person had. Household stuff, cattle, equipment. Most of the days we could start at 10 and be done by 2. Sell everything that they ever owned. So don't hang on too tight to the things you have, all right? There'll be a day that you won't have them anymore. You'll leave them behind. Your earrings, your bracelets, prize wedding ring. I tell you what I've seen, made me sick. I've seen the undertaker come up at the casket and wiggle that doggone wedding ring out of that woman's hand. Some greedy daughter wanted that ring. If you want the ring, get it before the funeral. Don't tell him at the last minute, hey, I want the jewelry that she's got on. This goes all over me. But it happens. I'm telling you, it happens frequently also. With my own eyes, I've seen them wrestle the wedding ring off. Yes, some old saint of God, as one of her children, could have it. And boys and men, you're not going to fare any better. They'll box up your souvenirs and your photographs and all the things that you had from childhood, all your toys, and they'll sell them, give them away, or store them in a musty attic, never to be seen again. And then here's the biggie. If you happen not to spend your last dime with your last breath, your money's gone. Okay? I remember one time I went to a meeting. This guy was going to tell people how to set up, you know, their money for when they were dead and so forth. The first thing he said was, spend the last dime with your last breath. Well, if we knew when our last breath was, that'd be all right. But the problem is, we don't know. Most of us are out of money and we still have breath. Amen. But death will strip you of it. And let me tell you something. You say, well, I get along with my sibling just fine. Oh, yeah, you wait till mom and dad pass away. Huh? Yeah, whole new ball game. That's mine.
Yeah.
Mom said I could have this.
There you go.
Dad said I could have that tractor.
Huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people got a funny look on their faces. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. You know, they take off the jewelry and take the money. I know something's got to be done with the money, but there's a way to do it. You don't fight over it. Some greedy relative come in, didn't care a flip about mom and dad. Huh? Boy, they want their part. They got their little greedy hands out. Grease my palm. I'm glad I got one daughter. That's one thing I don't have to worry about. I told her, I said, if I have anything left, and Myra has anything left, you can have it, and your kids can fight over it. Well, I tell you what, when we die, all that's going to be separated. I got Dad's old shotgun. He had an old 12-gauge Winchester, and the stock is so loose, I'm afraid to shoot it. And I got an old family Bible. That's precious to me. I can open it up and I can see my parents and grandparents in there and aunts and uncles and all of that. And I got abstracts that tells when I bought the place and who owned it all the way back to the time that it was, you know, given to someone or whatever. And it'll be the same way with you. On the day of your appointed death, everything you own will be taken from you in a moment of time. If I die before I get out of here tonight, I don't own nothing. Somebody else will drive my car home. Huh? Somebody else will use the tractor. Somebody else will do whatever. Somebody else will take care of Myra because I won't be here. I want you to think about it a minute. You may be here lost without God. This is a serious message. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So you're going to stand before God after you die and give an account of what you've done with Jesus Christ. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 took nothing with him to hell. I heard a story one time about this filthy rich man. I mean, he had more money than you knew what to do with. And he died. And somebody asked, well, how much did he leave? And some guy said he left it all. Yeah. He left it all. Didn't take anything with him. Proverbs 11:4, richest profit not in the day of wrath. Number 4, on the day that you die, all your earthly plans will end. Do you have plans for tomorrow? Most of us do. Some of you plan on getting up in the morning, going to work. Maybe you do carpenter work or whatever. And you've got plans to do this or that or something else. Those plans may not come to pass. You have hopes of doing many things in your life. I hear people say, I've got a bucket list I want to do before I die. You better get it done. Luke chapter 12 says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? This man had great plans. He may have had somebody out there already tearing the old barns down. He's sitting there at the kitchen table in the evening and he's drawing out plans for the new barns. Bigger barns, greater barns, whole lot more feed and a lot more hay, a lot more grain. I mean, he's got it all planned out, and he works way into the night. And then he gets tired, and he says, I'll finish this first thing in the morning. And he gets up, and he walks into the bed, and crawls into the bed beside the wife, and she'd been asleep for hours. And he thinks about those barns. He can picture those big barns, those greater barns already built. He can picture them in his mind. And you know what he does? He goes off to sleep. All of a sudden, he hears a voice. Thou fool. Well, he thinks it's his wife talking to him. he looks over, and the wife's sound asleep. She hadn't stirred a bit. He said, I wonder what's going on. And anyway, he kind of fitfully falls back to sleep. And then again, thou fool. This gets his attention. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And I don't know what time he passed away, but he passed away that night according to the Bible. He may have had a heart attack right that moment. It may have been when he crawled out of bed and was finishing the plans on the barns. I don't know, but he had great plans, but they all ended suddenly when he'd passed away, when he died. You may have many plans and dreams of things you hope to do. But the day that you die, all your earthly plans and dreams and hopes will suddenly end. And you will face eternity without hope because you did not seek the salvation of your eternal soul. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Number five, on the day that you die, all hope of salvation will end for you. There's no hope whatever for anyone who dies unsaved to be saved. The Bible says in Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. If you die unjustified and filthy, uncleansed from your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will remain in that lost state in hell for all eternity. No hope of getting out. I don't know if there's signs in hell or not, but I think if there is, there's probably a sign that says no hope, no exit, eternity. Forever and ever, you're going to be there, just like heaven. Forever and ever, you're going to be there. So our soul is forever, so we will either die and go to heaven or we'll die and go to hell. Abraham spoke to the rich man and said, Luke 16:26, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I looked up the word gulf, and it's an abyss or a wide separation. I remember a number of years ago, we went out west and we went by the Grand Canyon. And I looked at that wide expanse across that Grand Canyon. Listen, you're not going to get out of hell. It'd be like trying to step across the Grand Canyon. You're not going to do that. You're not going to step out of hell. If you go there and you lift your eyes in hell like the rich man did in Luke chapter 16, you're going to be there forevermore. There's a separation wider than the Grand Canyon between those in hell and those in heaven, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. On the day that you die, all hope of salvation in Christ will end for you. Remember our text. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job 14:1. Verse number 5 says, his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Now that's appointed his bound that he cannot pass. God alone knows how many days, how many months, how many hours, how many minutes that you have left upon this earth before you die. Amos said in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Tonight's the time to do that, folks. Young people, listen to me. You're sitting here and you say, well, you're talking about old people dying. No, I didn't say anything about age. I didn't say old people die. Old people do die. So do young people. I probably had as many funerals of young people as I have of old folks. And so all of us are going to die. And we may die. We'll die at different ages. My grandpa Kelly died at 66. My dad died at 66. So I've outlived them. God's been good to me. I've been able to live longer than my dad and my grandpa lived. My grandpa Douglas died in his early 50s. He had leukemia. Back in that day, they had nothing to do for leukemia. And he died of leukemia. And so I'm just saying, we don't know when we're going to die. But we need to be ready. Pilate, you remember Pilate washed his hands of Jesus Christ and thought, I'll get rid of him, so forth. A lot of people are trying to do that today. They're trying to cleanse themselves. You might as well lift yourself by your bootstraps as to try to save yourself, because it's impossible. it cannot be done. And then King Agrippa, remember what he told Paul? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You may be sitting here tonight, you may be watching on the internet tonight, and almost you're persuaded to get right with God. But the old devil's whispering in your ear, not tonight, not now, wait till some other time. Tomorrow will be better. No, tomorrow won't be better because you're not promised a tomorrow. So you need to get saved tonight. Then I thought of Felix in Acts chapter 24. Paul reasoned with him. And you know what Felix told him? Paul, at a more convenient season, I'll call for you. The Bible never speaks of Felix ever calling for Paul again. And God may deal with your heart tonight through the Holy Spirit of God, and He may never deal with you again. I want you to think about that. God hasn't promised to deal with you every time you come to church. But if God's dealing with your heart tonight about salvation, you need to do something about it. You need to get up and get up here and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. Save me by your grace. Save me by your blood that you shed on Calvary. And just throw yourself upon Jesus Christ. Come to Christ and be cleansed for your sin by His blood before it's too late. When you're going to die, I don't know. There's been a time or two in my life I thought I was going to die. But I didn't. How you know that? Well, I'm here. There probably been some times in your life you thought you were in a situation that you weren't going to live through it. I remember a number of years ago, back in 1992, I was going to visit a man in the hospital. It was a cold February night. And I left home and Myra was making clothes for the grandkids. The granddaughters were just small. And I said, do you want to ride up to the hospital with me? She said, no, I think I'll just stay home and sew these dresses. I said, I don't blame you. It's nasty out. I got just south of town out here and coming up over the hills. And there was a guy that had parked a trailer with a long tank on it. And the tank probably hung out about 5 to 6 feet over the end of the trailer. No lights on it. No flashers, no flags, no nothing. Raining, cold. I come up over that hill. And my car went underneath that tank, and it ripped the top right off that car, all the way back to the back seat. And what I did, when I saw what was happening, I threw my left arm up like that to protect my face. And it just snapped it. Red, you'll remember what it looked like. Just snapped my arm. And I crawled back in the back seat and got the back door open and got out. Neighbor there had called the ambulance and so forth and went to the hospital and got surgery on my arm. And matter of fact, I had two surgeries that year on it. I had the bones were just fragmented almost. And so they put steel plates in there, both sides of my arm and so forth. Terry, you and your wife remember that. You was going to church down there where I was pastoring at the time. And I thought I was going to die. I tell you, I hurt everywhere. But I didn't. God brought me through it. And God has brought you through things also. But one day, you may be driving along, and all of a sudden somebody comes up over a hill on the wrong side of the road, and it's smack. And you're gone. Our son-in-law, about 4 years ago, was up on the interstate. He was bad about not using his seatbelt. And worse about texting while he drove. And here he is up there, and there was an accident ahead, and he didn't know it. He wasn't paying attention. He was contacting his sister. He was going to meet her at a ball game up there, and he ran into the back of a truck. Killed him instantly. Nearly cut him in two. Just like that, he was gone. And you all can say things like that, people that you knew, somebody in your family. I never forget, I'd come back from the church down at Brush and Knob where I was pastoring and got the phone call. It was my niece. She says, Dawn has been killed in a car wreck. Well, she got a sister, Dawn. I thought she was talking about her sister. She says, no, Marie's husband. And boy, that set things into motion that I never thought I'd have to deal with, you know. But folks, we don't know. That's what I'm trying to get in your brain tonight. You don't know. You're sitting here tonight. You say, I feel great, Brother Danny. Doesn't matter. Myra's dad was showing a horse down to Twin Bridges Saddle Club. He's 52 years old. He was out in the ring riding the horse around there on a Saturday night. Had a massive heart attack and was dead when he hit the ground. Marie was just a little baby. We was living at Rogersville. I was working in Springfield. My brother-in-law Jack came up there and told us about it. I mean, just shocked us to death. But we don't know when we're going to die. Now, I know you don't like this kind of message, but folks, we need to think about it. Amen. You need to think about it, because when you die, it's too late to do anything with God. It's just too late. There's nothing you can do. I'm sure there's people in hell tonight that's crying out and repenting and say, oh God, save me. Lord, bring me out of this place. They're not going to be brought out. It's too late. It's too late. Don't leave out of here knowing you need to get right with God and be saved and say, well, I'll do it some other time. You may not have another time. May not be a more convenient season than tonight to get saved, all right? Let's stand, if you would, this evening for just a few moments, and we're just going to let you think about what's been said tonight. I'm going to pray, and listen, you need to come and pray for someone or pray for yourself, or you need to come and get saved tonight. Come right ahead, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we just pray tonight for the people that's listening online and the people that's listening here in this service tonight. And we pray, God, that your will be done in every heart that's here. I just pray, God, that you'd speak to us, Lord, through the Spirit of God tonight. The Holy Ghost of God would convict us of sin. And, Lord, that we get right with you, God, that everything would be under the blood if we should happen to meet you tonight. We just love you this evening. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.